kind of set the tone for, let's reflect on the goodness of God in scripture, in comments, and in song. Verse 1, number 66. Number 66. These words are actually the whole psalm, Psalm 117. Psalm 117 is only three verses long, and we'll end this song with the whole psalm is sung. It's 282. 282.
He cares for me. He's so good to me.
know if you're familiar with a book called a concordance. It's like a dictionary of all the words in the Bible. So you just look it through ABC and you get to the G's, you find the word good. When you look at it even, I'm upside down. Well, you can't tell because it's from this distance. It doesn't mean a thing. But these are all the references starting with Genesis, and it goes through each book of the Bible and tells you where the word good is found. The word good is found 504 times. Most of it is talking about the goodness of God. It has God is good. It's about good understanding, good works, goodly, goodness, goods. That looks like me. but just to look at it, how many times just the word good is found in the Bible. By definition, I have more in my notes than I have in yours. It's used in our vocabulary in many ways. Just think about good. I'm going to make a comparison what we think of as good from an earthly point of view. Or just good things in daily living. Just good relationships. And without ever looking up, oh, this is good. Keep your good things here. And then we'll point out the goodness of God. I want you to see the contrast. Good in the vocabulary. Goodbye. And I put added, sometimes we say goodbye and good riddance. Good faith means no fraud. You say somebody's good for nothing. And these words were actually, when I looked up the word good in the dictionary, had one right after the other. Good-hearted, good-humored, good-looking. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Good name. That was just for my own benefit. That's just for me. Good-natured, goodwill, goodness. Sometimes as an explanation, good sense, one had goody-goody, it tastes good. We use good in a lot of ways in just the way we say things. So I put in your notes, you know, sometimes we say, oh, they're good, but they're good in the worst way. And I know what you mean by that. When you say someone is good in the worst way, it means they're not very nice about their goodness. Sometimes their goodness might be out loud. Look at me. Look what I did. Goodness. Their goodness. In the worst ways, it might be pride-filled. We're going to have goodness. But we're going to see the contrast. And many of our society have trouble distinguishing good from bad, and it's an Old Testament verse. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe unto them who call evil good. And you call good evil. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto those who are wise in their own eyes. So I added for your notes, brother, you can call garlic perfume all you want to, but it still stinks. So woe unto them who call evil good. By Merriam-Webster, if you're talking about something good, to be helpful, beneficial, exemplary, conforming to a high standard or morality or virtue, charitable, well-behaved, be kind or of service to another, nice, thoughtful, considerate. Right, so those are all dictionary definitions of how we would define good in our society. But now let's take a look at God. God is good. And his goodness is much more than a dictionary definition. God's goodness is an attribute of him himself. He's good. And just add another O to that word God and you get good. So when you think of good, think of God as good. Remember one of the first prayers we teach our children, you know, the youngsters, or many parents do. God is great and God is good. Now we thank him for our food. I think poems ought to rhyme. That's just my nature. I never understood some of those, well, the haikus or something like that. I just didn't get Beowulf at all in 11th grade literature. It just didn't jive with me. So I, you know, if you're going to teach your children, God is great, God is good, now we thank him for our food. I have to make it rhyme. But the Bible reveals the goodness as a core quality of God. God's goodness is his very nature. He's abundantly good. Good. In Exodus 34, verse 6, the Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. Why didn't he say abounding in mercy, abounding in grace, abounding in long-suffering? But on this verse, he abounds in goodness. In goodness. God is good. Good to us. Another place, in 2 Chronicles, or 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34. Give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. His mercy endures forever. He's good. Ezra 3, verse 11. They sang responsibly. In response. Praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he's good. Thank him for his mercy. There was a congregation or several congregations that have a response that they give. The one leading in the congregation could be a Bible class or lesson or something. And the first thing he would say is, God is good. And the congregation would respond all the time. And then the preacher or the leader would say, all the time, God is good. So just a little repetition. In Psalm 25, verse 8, good and upright is the Lord. Psalm 34, verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Interesting phrase, isn't it? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Kind of pause and we say, chew on that thought for a moment. The idea is meditate. Let me think about that for a moment. Let me give that some consideration. In other words, stop and then see. The Lord is good. Good. In Psalm 145, verse 9, the Lord is good to all. And his tender mercies are over all of his works. He's good to all. Everybody, no matter who we are or what our disposition is or outlook in life, everyone receives sunshine and rain. Everyone sees the morning, the evening. God is good to all in many things in life. In Matthew 7, verse 9, oh, what man is there among you? Interesting illustration Jesus gives. If his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? You're talking about just parenting. If our children ask for bread, would I give them a stone? Just physical parenting. Or if he asks for a fish, would you give him a serpent? So if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, and we know how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Interesting phrase, much more. I don't know, Clarence and Barbara, if you remember several years ago, you sent me an outline from a preacher's lesson that was titled, We Serve a God of Much More. I hope you remember that. A God of much more. Now, let me just look at that verse again. As you can say, if your son asked you for bread, would you give him a stone? If he asked for fish, would you give him a serpent? No, I wouldn't. So you know how, or we know how to give good things to our children. So if we know how to do that, so how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those that ask him? The next verse in your outline, I want to kind of stop on too, because of that phrase, much more. And I just put a couple of words in your notes. But here's the verse in its fullness. In Romans chapter 5, beginning of verse 8. God commends his own love toward us in that. All right, so God, you already did something good. You commended your own love toward us. In that, While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The next words. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through faith, or through the death of his son. Here's another two words. Much more. We already have. God's already demonstrated his love toward us. In that Christ died for us. Oh, that's good. Oh, but there's more. Having been justified. Oh, thank you. Oh, there's more? Much more. Having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And then the next phrase. And not only that. We rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom now we've received the ministry of reconciliation. So I just put in your notes that in that, much more then, much more, and not only that. So you see, you begin to pile up the goodness of God just in those verses. So I'll just highlight, in that. Thank you, God. You're good. Oh, you're not finished. Much more. Much more. And not only that. God is good. God is good. So the song that we sing quite often, number 141, God is good. So what's my response? 141. Goodness of God. So what does that mean to me?
Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. We love you, adore you. We bow down before you. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. Son of God, what a wonder you are. Son of God, what a wonder you are. You cleanse my soul from sin, set the Spirit within. Son of God, what a wonder you are. Holy Spirit, what a comfort you are. Holy Spirit, what a comfort you are. You lead us, you guide us, you live right inside us. Holy Spirit, what a comfort you are.
So just think, first of all, God, you're good. You're good. I put just a couple things. Second, God is good in giving daily bread. This illustration, almost on many of the attributes of God. I just think, yeah, God, and all those other attributes, what does that mean to me? I want to thank you for your influence in my life every day. Whether it's your holiness, your faithfulness, your steadfastness. I want to say thank you for daily bread. And my prayer is, each morning, God, I need you again today. We gave a lesson last week, God doesn't change. So I can count on him tomorrow. I wake up, God, I need you again today. You're not going to change, are you? No, you're not. No, I'm not going to change. So the song is number 837. 837. You remember the biblical admonition. Found in Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19, where we teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The value of the hymns that we sing. There's a lesson that we teach one another in those words. And we mentioned this when we sing, we not only look in a horizontal direction, but we look up because the last phrase of the verse is that we're singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. So we look in our songs, we're looking in two directions. Many times, if we sing, we'll work till Jesus comes, I'm singing, you're singing that, we're all encouraging each other. and with those words. And this song is the same way. God, I need you. I need thee every hour. And you're singing the same thing. We're in this together, so we're looking this way. I need you. We're all in accord. And then there's other times when our songs, like in the opening, we praise thee, O God. We look up. So number 837.
Okay. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can be.
I would have lost heart. I think about that. Weary, troublesome times, heartache, discouragement, loneliness. I would have lost heart. You know, those things are troubling in your life and mine. Many of those things would upset us, discourage us, want us to move away from God. But the psalmist said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I need thee every hour. I want to see the goodness, just as I see the goodness of God in the land of the living. God, you can be good to me in my life. Number three, I put in your notes, God is good in his mercy. Sometimes when, well, it could be something good or something troublesome, but we still say, gracious goodness. Oh, in other words, help me. Help me, God. Help me. Psalm 100, verses 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. Well, there's a resume or an outline. Thanksgiving, praise. Thankful to him, bless his name. The next phrase is, for the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures forever. In Psalm 107, beginning of verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? In our lesson tonight, it's for he is good. He's good. His mercy endures. That phrase is repeated, I put this in your notes, in verses 8, 15, 21, and 31. It's the same phrase, five times in that psalm. So evidently when the psalmist was writing this particular section of all the psalm, there was something about the goodness of God that he was impressed with. So five times, just in verses 1 through 31, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks. So, and we're talking about his mercy this time, because his mercy endures. So a song that's a favorite of many people. Mine too. Number 381. 381. Section is on God's mercy and his goodness. He's good. God is good in his mercy. 381.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. Then my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I give it to Jesus everything, now your soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty cloth that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Well, I like that last stanza. Well, I like all the stanzas, but oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, and then oh, the grace that brought it down to man. That's right. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy. There was great grace. Grace was pardon multiplied to me. Oh, I like that. So now my burdened soul finds liberty at Calvary. Last one I have in your notes. God is good in guiding my pathway. Guiding my pathway. Interesting phrase. I'm going to stop here. I just thought of it. Just jumped in my little white thing, jumped in my mind. But remember when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2? And he said in verse 40, save yourselves, King James uses the word untoward. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. The new King James says crooked generation, but untoward, interesting phrase. In other words, without Jesus, the direction you're going is not toward anything that's of eternal yourselves from this untoward generation. And those that gladly received his word were baptized. But in Matthew chapter 7, beginning of verse 13, very familiar verse. Enter by the narrow gate. All right, God, you're going to lead my path? Yeah, Brian, the narrow gate. Go that way. Take the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad's the way that leads to destruction. I want to avoid that. Many there are who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult the way that leads to life, and there's few that find it. So you see two gates, a wide one and a narrow one. You see two roads, a broad way and a difficult one. You see two groups of people, the many and the few, and you see two destinations, destruction and life. God, I want you to lead me. But Jeremiah 10:23 says, it's not in man to direct his own path. I need help from above. God is good in giving us direction. In Psalm 143, verse 10, teach me to do your will. Now, Christianity is a taught religion. Teach me to do your will. You're my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Psalm 119, beginning of verse 7. These last ones are all from Psalm 119. Verse 7, I'll praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn of your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Lead me, God. Lead me in the right pathway. You're good. You're good. So I know whatever pathway you decide for me, I know it's good. It's good. Lead me. Verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to the word of God. How can a young man cleanse his way? Oh, God's way. God is good. Verse 11, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Oh, God, you're good. You've shown me a way that if I take your word to heart, it keeps me from sin. My God, you're good. Verse 16, I'll delight myself in your statutes. I'll not forget your word. I want you to see the goodness of God, and the pathway that he leads for us is a delight. Yeah. Almost like the psalmist said, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. I'm glad. I'm glad for assembly. I'm glad when it's time for brethren to get together. So God, I delight in your word. And then obviously in verse 105, your word's a lamp unto my feet, a light to my pathway. That's right. And so this all we teach each other and emphasize it. 443. Number 443. And then we'll close. 443. I remember on this point, God is good in directing our pathway by giving us his teachings, his word, guiding us, his word, you know, a lamp, his word's a light, keeps us from stumbling, he gives us the direction that we go. So God's word, 443 is the hymn.
How precious is the book divine and the inspiration given. Bright as the lamp, its precepts shine to guide my soul to heaven. Holy book divine, precious treasure mine, the lamp to my feet and the light to my way, to guide me safely home. It sweetly cheers my droop. In this dark veil of tears, light in my life is still imparts and quells my rising fears. Holy book divine, precious treasure mine, let to my feet and the light to my way to guide me. Lamp through all the tears.
Exhortation, number 927.
Communion.
Oh, communion, that's right. Right after our invitation. So, that's right, I don't have that written down. Thank you. If there's a response that you want to make this evening based upon this lesson or other lessons or just your own Bible teaching or someone teaching you about how to become, if you have that opportunity. At the close of each lesson, we sing a song, and I use several words as a song, and not only of invitation, but a song of encouragement. It's a song of exhortation. It's a song to encourage you to make that relationship right if you haven't done so already. It's a moment for reflection about your relationship with God. If you've not obeyed that good gospel commandment, so that teaching that Jesus gave, the last words, Jesus, what do you have to say before you leave? In Matthew 28, beginning of verse 18, all authority has been given unto me. Has all the authority. Don't change it. Don't change it. Has all the authority in heaven and on earth. Go and make disciples of all men. How are you going to make, Jesus, how do you want us to make the disciples? Baptizing them by heaven's authority in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them, continue to stay with the book. Teaching them of all the things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age. In Mark chapter 16, beginning of verse 15, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Don't leave anybody out. It's not a message just for some. It's a worldwide message. Preach the gospel to everybody. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. It's a salvation invitation that we extend. So let's stand. We'll stand together and sing this song. 927.